Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, Lord. We just praise you and ask you today that we would have a closer walk with thee, Lord. That our heart's desire is to be more like you. We want to be like you. We want to act like you. We want to do all the things that you would have us to do, Lord. We want our light so shine before men that may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Lord, teach us through this passage today. And Lord, continue to bless us and help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. We're going to be looking at James 5, starting in verse 1. Last time we kind of got started on that. Starts talking about the rich and about how they're oppressing or mistreating the poor. Title this passage, When God Gets Angry at the Rich, in verses 5, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. And he says, first of all, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who have mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth. You have lived on earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just, and he does not resist you. Well, see, you know, God doesn't have a problem with us being rich. But you know, in this passage, he's upset with these rich. And if you notice, several times in different passages we've talked, that we've mentioned that James says, brethren. And he starts talking to the brethren. He says, my brethren. And here, he doesn't say a word about my brethren. He just says, come now, ye rich, weep and howl. And he doesn't say anything about repent, about anything like that. Because if they were brethren, he would be trying to turn them back towards the Lord. But the deal is they don't even know the Lord. So he's talking to unbelievers here, people that don't even know the Lord. And he's telling them what's going to happen to them. But the fact is today, that as a nation, as the United States, that we're mightily blessed. Some people from our church are going over to Russia this coming week, the end of the week, this coming Friday. And they were talking about the conditions of the bathrooms and how filthy and how bad everything is over there. And, you know, we think about the commonest, just the slightest little thing, clean bathrooms, clean places to live, clean places to stay. And all kinds of good things that we have over there, but because they're everyday occurrences for us, and we just tend to take them for granted. And we have so much in this United States that we have to be blessed for. And these people in these third world countries are just, they don't have doctors, they don't have medicine, they don't have people to take care of them. They're living in filth and all kinds of unsanitary conditions. But yet over here, we take all that stuff for granted, to be able to go in a clean bathroom, have a clean bed to sleep in, have an air-conditioned house and all kinds of heat in the winter. And you know, and we take all that stuff for granted, but if you compare the United States with the rest of the world, you know, we are rich. We are rich compared to the rest of the world. And if you look at the poverty level over there and what they live off compared to what we live off of, we should be very thankful to God for what he's given to us. But the fact is we're not. We're always wanting more, more, more. And I think it's just a human condition that the more we get, the more we want. And that's why riches are so dangerous. Because the more you get, the more you want. And I can't remember who it was, but they asked somebody one time how much was enough. And they said, just one more dollar, just one more dollar. And every time they get another dollar, they just want one more million, one more billion, one more whatever. And the rich want to keep getting richer, and the poor keep getting poorer. And so we're going to see in this passage that James is dealing, talking to the rich, and he's saying that God's angry with these rich. Now, he's not angry with them because they're rich, because there was many people in the Old Testament that were rich. As a matter of fact, that was one of the ways that God used to show that his hand was upon people in the Old Testament. Job, Abraham, Solomon, David, Joseph, Job, Barnabas. Some of those people were rich in the eyes of the rest of the world, you know, and they had a lot of goods. And remember, the devil says, the reason Job loves you, the reason he stays with you is because you've given him so much. You've given him so many cattle, so many servants, so many children, and you've just given him all these things. But you take that stuff away from him, and let's see what he does for you. God does talk about the difficulty of the rich being saved. You know, he talks about that it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. I couldn't imagine trying to stick a camel through the eye of a needle. But he says it's tough because it's because they want and they get and they want more. And their whole focus becomes get, want. And that's the way we can become too, even with our little bit of money. You know, we get a nice house and we want a nicer house. We get a car, we want a nicer car. We want the latest one. You know, we got to get a 2000. We want the 2001 edition when it comes out. When 2002 comes, we want that one. And we just keep wanting and wanting and wanting. But God says it's not wrong to be rich. But the problem is how did you get rich? And what are you doing with that money? So, like I said, that James is not talking to the brethren. He's not talking to the church, to the saved people, but he's talking to the unsaved. And only here we see condemnation. These are probably the same people that have been oppressing the Christians back in James 2:6. He talked about in James 2:6 that they were taking them to court. He says, "But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into courts? Do not they blaspheme that noble name by which you are called?" These are probably the same people that are mistreating the poor and that are taking them to court, because James is talking to these believers and these unbelievers, and he's telling them that one day your time's coming. And there is going to be a judgment for every single one of us. If we've trusted Jesus Christ, we're going to be judged based on the good we've done for him and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to be judged for our sins. But if we've not trusted Jesus Christ, we're going to be judged based on the wrong things we've done and how bad we've been. And then we're going to be punished in hell eternally. And then we're going to have different degrees of punishment based on how much we knew about the Bible, how much we understood. The Bible says that it's better for us not even known the truth than to have known the truth and to have rejected it. So these people are mistreating the poor. They're mistreating the Christians. And God says that he's heard their cries and that judgment is coming. So he says, what's in store for them? He says in verses 1 through 3, he tells them that he says, you're going to weep and howl because your miseries are coming on you. It says your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. And then those things that you have are going to be a witness one day against you. Do you know that? That the riches you have that you don't use for God, one day, if you don't know Christ, they're going to be a witness against you. Because the Bible says you can't take it with you. You know, you can get all you want to, but you can't take it with you. I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it, pulling all the man's goods with him. You know, you can't take it with you. Or if you do, it doesn't do you no good, because you're going to be in hell and it's going to be in that coffin still. So it doesn't do you any good. You know, it's terrible to amass all kinds of clothing, all kinds of houses and cars. And what happens? Eventually, all of those things corrode, they rust out, the moth eats them, or the clothes rot, or we wash them too many times and they fall apart. And the Bible says that we need to be laying up treasure in heaven. We don't need to be laying up treasure down here. We need to be laying up treasure in heaven, because the things down here really don't matter. The things down here are not important. Yes, we live down here and God wants us to be happy. God wants us to have all our needs met, our food, our clothing, a place to stay. But he doesn't say that we need to have a whole lot more than that. And we should be satisfied when we've got food in our mouth and clothes on our back and a place to stay. And so he says that those riches that they have are going to witness against them. And so one day, God's going to ask them, what did you do with the stuff that I gave you? And they're not going to be able to say that they did anything. They might say, well, I gave money to the United Way, or I gave money to here or there. But if they weren't doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit, if they weren't saved, none of those good works they did matter for anything. So you can do all the good works you want to, but if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the only thing that's going to count when you go stand before God is the fact that you haven't trusted Him and you've misused and abused the things He gave you to help others with. So he says that many of these rich were oppressing the Christians, fellow Christians. You know, Jerusalem was burned in AD 70. Rome took it over and completely burned it. And many of those rich Jews lost everything they had. And you know, Jesus even predicted that in Luke 21, that was going to happen, that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. And he said that one day their destruction was becoming because what they hadn't done with what they had. That literally happened. And Josephus, he wrote about that. He was an ancient historian, and he wrote many things about the Bible or about people that were in the Bible, and he historically backs up a lot of the things that we see in the Bible, and he says that they happened the way they happened. And so we not only have the Bible to prove the things that have happened, and we have to believe that God wrote this, but we also have historians that write of the things that happened in the Bible and tell us that this literally happened, that these people were destroyed and they lost their riches, and I'm sure they were weeping and howling. Can you imagine how it would be for somebody that has a lot of money and has maids and servants and people and cars and houses and can do anything they want to? All of a sudden one day they don't have any money. All of a sudden one day they have to do everything for themselves. And you know, a lot of these people don't even know how to do these things for themselves because they've grown up with that. They've grown up with the money. And when they hit the rock bottom, it's worse for them than the man that doesn't have anything to begin with, because he knows how to work. He knows how to do the right things. But when these people lose all their money, all these things that they've depended on, all of a sudden they have nothing to depend on. And you know what? These same people that have this money and have houses and cars, you take their money away. And guess what? Next thing you know, they don't have any friends either, do they? Because most of the people that are hanging around with them are hanging around with them because they got money, because they got cars, because they got things. And that's the only reason they're hanging around with them. So they're in pretty bad shape. So he says they're going to weep and howl because their goods one day are going to witness against them and they're going to lose it all. You remember the rich man that said he was going to tear down his barns and he was going to build bigger? And then Jesus told him, says, fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. And he just thought, well, you know, I've made all this money. I'm just going to tear down my barns and build bigger and better. And I'm just going to take my rest and take my ease and live it up the rest of my life. But yet Jesus said, no, your soul is going to be required of you tonight. And you're going to hell and you're going to lose every bit of it. You know, a lot of people store up today more money than they really need. They store up things for their retirement. They store up and they keep adding more and more money to everything that they have, and they keep thinking, well, I need more and more and more to retire. But God said He'd take care of us no matter what. He said if the birds of the air have food and clothing and they have a place to stay, wouldn't He take care of us? But yet many people store up, and a lot of people, they die before they even get to use it. They die before they retire. They die right after they retire. I've seen that many a times at the place I used to work at. I'd see people, and they'd work all their lives. They'd get 60 or 65, and they'd work up to the last minute, and then they'd quit 2 weeks later, 2 months later, three weeks later, they'd be dead. They die, and they never get to enjoy their retirement. But the Bible says that we can enjoy our life now if we have Jesus Christ living in us. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? You remember the rich man, every day he walked past Lazarus and he wouldn't even give him any food. He wouldn't even give him anything to eat, wouldn't take care of him. He just walked right by him and ignored him. But yet, one day, the rich man died and he went to hell. And then the poor man, he died and went to Abraham's bosom, which is another way of saying he didn't actually go to heaven, because people weren't in heaven in the Old Testament. They were like in a holding place, but it was like heaven. And the other place where he was at was like hell. Hell's not actually happening yet, but he was in a place where he was being punished. So what happened? He said, give me a drink of water on the tip of your finger. And he says, but you can't pass from one side to the other. That there's a gulf fixed between the two. And even if I wanted to, I couldn't go there. And he said, well, send somebody to my brothers. And he says, nope, we can't do that. He said, if he didn't believe Abraham, Moses, and the prophets, how would he believe one that came back from the dead? Because we got the Word of God right here. That's sufficient to tell us what's the truth. We don't need anything else. We don't need miracles. We don't need signs. We don't need somebody to come back from the dead to prove that the Bible's true. God was angry at these rich people because they had so much riches. What were they doing with it? They were hoarding it. And then what did he say they were doing? In verse 4, he says, indeed, the wages of the laborers who have mowed their fields, which you have kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Can you believe that? They were ripping these poor people off. And that happens today still. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. They make a bargain with you to work for so much a day. And what was happening is back then, as Jesus told them, said, you need to pay your laborers at the end of each day. And so what they would do was at the end of each day, they would pay their laborers off, because they were dependent on that to eat the next day, to have their food and continue to have a place to stay. And so he says, you pay your laborers at the end of the day. And what would happen was these people would bargain with them, and they'd try to get them down to the lowest amount that they would accept for the day's wage. And then after they got them down to that lowest amount that they could get, just like they do today, they want you to start out, they try to get you down to the lowest amount you'll start for a job. But then these people, when they got through at the end of the day, they wouldn't even pay them the money they owed them. They would cheat them out of the money they owed them. And he says, you're holding back the wages of the laborers who have reaped your fields, who have mowed your fields, who have brought in your crops. And you've kept their wages from them. And these people are going hungry. They're going without clothes. They're going without a place to stay because you've ripped them off. He says that they've been crying out to me, the Lord. And he says, the Lord has heard. And you're going to be judged for it. I got an example of a lady that this just happened in the last 2 weeks. I know two ladies that they were doing some work for this other lady. And what happened is she contracted with them to do so much work, and the price ended up being about $4,000. Now, she had provided some of this materials to do some of the work for these two people. Now, they did all the work. They brought it over there. The man did all the work to install all the stuff. Everything was in place. She called them over there and told them it was shoddy workmanship, told them it was junk, that it was lousy, treated the people like dirt, had a so-called David Jeremiah Christian book on her table. But yet, I believe in my heart that the whole deal was, is this lady has so much money, I believe that she bought that fabric and she did this the whole time when she knew that she had this work done. She knew that she was going to rip them off. She knew that she was going to tell them the work was shoddy. She says, everybody that's come in here has said, oh, that's such terrible work. That's terrible. That's shoddy workmanship. And I believe the whole time she had it in her mind that she was going to rip them off. $4,000. Now, she had the people take some of the stuff back. They couldn't take the one thing back that she got to keep because it was her materials. So they couldn't even take that back. But then they took the other stuff back, started disassembling it. We're going to rework it. Had more labor put into it. Then she turned around and called them back and said, well, I just don't think I'm going to be happy with y'all's workmanship, with y'all's quality of work. I think right now I'm just not going to do anything. Now, I believe in my heart that this lady had in her mind that, to begin with, that she was going to rip them off, that she was going to have them do the work, and she was going to get away without paying. And I really sincerely believe that. And this lady lives in an expensive house, in an expensive community, and I believe that's what she did. And that's what a lot of the rich do. They're going to do anything they can to get more money. They don't care what they have to do to get your money. They hoarded their wealth. They spent it on themselves in luxury and pleasure. Listen to this in verse 5. He says, "You have lived on earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just, and he does not resist you." You see, the rich will do anything. When you get money, that money calls out to you and you want more and more money. And you'll continue to do anything you can to get that money, won't you? Because you want more and more and more. And that it calls out to you, and you, the more you get, the more you want. And it says even here in verse 6, "You have condemned, you have murdered the just, and he doesn't resist you." I mean, people, the rich will even kill you. They'll take you to court to beat you out of what's rightfully yours. You know, I'm not saying that all the rich are like that, but these rich unbelievers are doing that. And God's saying they're going to be judged for that. So we need to remember a couple of things out of this. First of all, we need to remember that we need to be careful how we obtain our wealth. To do so at the expense of others is going to bring God's wrath on us. That's right. When we mistreat others, God's going to bring his judgment down on us. Listen to this in Deuteronomy 24, 14 and 15. "You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or one of the aliens who is in your land within the gates. Each day you shall give him his wages and not let the sun go down on it. For he is poor and has set his heart on it, lest he cry out against you to the Lord and it be sin to you." You know, he says it's wrong to get success, to have money, to do things that lift us up by stepping on others and mistreating others. Listen to this, what Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 12. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you have called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses." You know, riches aren't wrong, but the desire to be rich is. You know, if that's our goal when we go to work or when we start a business is to be rich, that's wrong. But you know, God will bless us if he wants us to be blessed. If he wants to have a pocket full of money, he'll bless us. He'll give us a pocket full of money. But you know what? When he gives us that pocket full of money, he wants us to use it for the Lord. He wants us to use it to support other ministries. You know, God gives certain people the gift of making money. And a lot of people in the church have that gift. But now when he gives them that gift of making money, he also gives them the gift, the spiritual gift of giving. And he gives them that gift so that they will support the ministries of the church, the work of the church, the missions of the church, and so that God's word can go out to those that need to hear it. So if we start a business with the goal of being rich, that's wrong. But you know, if we start it with the purpose of honoring, glorifying God and giving him what he deserves out of it, he'll bless us. And if we continue to give him what's his, he'll bless our business. He may not make us rich. He may give us just enough to get by. Who knows what he'll do? But you know, he gives us what he thinks we can handle. They said that more people have been destroyed by wealth and fame than people have been destroyed by trials and suffering and hard time. There's very few people that can really handle riches and money because it destroys you, because it just does something to your insides. So we need to remember That we need to obtain our wealth by doing a good job for God. And if He wants to give us money, He will. But if we do it by hurting others and make that our primary goal in life, then God's not going to bless that. He may let us destroy ourselves and show us that we can't handle it just to bring us back to Him. So we got to remember, we got to be careful how we use our wealth. To spend it on our luxurious living like these people are doing. He said they lived in pleasure and luxury. They fatten their hearts. In the day of slaughter, He's talking about like a cattle. You know how we fatten up cattle to slaughter them? God's letting these people get fattened up so He can slaughter them one day because He knows they're not going to come to Him. And one day they're going to be slaughtered and they're going to go to hell and they're going to pay for that eternally because they've not trusted Him. So He says that if we spend it on ourselves when others are suffering, it's an indication of our lack of love for God. It says in 1 John 3:17, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth." Did you hear that? Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother suffering and shuts up his heart, how does the love of God abide in him? He said it doesn't. Let's not love in word or deed, in word only, but in deed and in truth. Let's show others the love of God, what's really in our heart. You could talk all day long, but can you back it up? I hear a lot of people talking, but I don't hear a lot of times people backing up what they say they're going to do. And if you truly love God, you'll reach out to others and you'll treat others decently and you'll help others that truly need it. We don't need to work for our own gratification, but to help the less fortunate. He says, as commanded by Paul in 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy." He says, "Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Storing up a foundation. Our rewards are based on what we do with what God gives us in this life. So if we do good things with what He's given us, He's going to reward us based on that. And so He says it's also demonstrated by Paul in Acts 20:34-35. "Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak." And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." More blessed to give than to receive. You know, when you give to others, when you reach out to others, even if it's to talk to them, encourage them, to give them some support in that way. You don't necessarily always have to give them money or things, but when you just reach out to others and help them in their time of sadness or when they need encouragement, you may be amazed how blessed you are. You can be in a bad mood, you can be sad, you can be tired, but you go reach out to somebody else and help them and see what God does for you. You'll be blessed. You'll be happy. You'll be perked up. God will make you feel better because you've done something for Him and you've helped other people, and He'll make you feel good because you've done something good for others. So we need to remember, in our country, we have much to be thankful for. Much. Very much. But we also have to be careful. You know, it's easy to get rich sometimes the wrong way. But we have to be careful. We live in a society where coveting or the desire to be rich are not considered sins. You know, people think it's the American way. Come over here and get your money. And a lot of people come over here because they want to have their dream realized. They want a business. They want to get rich. They say, you can make it in America. You can get rich. You can have everything you want. And they come over here for the wrong reasons. And we also live in a society where heaping up treasure for our own enjoyment without giving to the others that need it is considered right. And it's easy to be influenced by these things. It's easy to be influenced by that money. And that's why it's so dangerous to have riches, because most of us can't handle it. I don't know if I can handle it. Who knows? That's probably why God hadn't given me anything. He knows I can't handle it. So I don't know. We just need to be careful. Say, Lord, if you want me to be blessed and want me to have money, you give it to me. But please don't let me be destroyed by it. So we need to ask ourselves constantly, well, are we laying up treasure in heaven or on earth? Because we're aliens and strangers on this earth if we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And one day we're going to be citizens and fellow heirs in heaven with Jesus Christ. And then He's going to give us the true riches, the true rewards, the things that really count for all eternity. I said it before and I'll say it again. We only live in this world 100 years, 120 years at the most. Most people don't even make it that long. The average age, I think, is about 74 for men, about 78 for women. But I tell you what, this is just a small drop in the ocean compared to eternity. You think about eternity. If you're separated from God for eternity, do you want to get it now? God says you can pay me now, you can pay me later, like the old Midas commercial. You can get what you want now and live the way you want to today. But one day you're going to have to pay for it. Or do you want to do what Jesus said? Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Him for your 60, 70, 80, 100 years. And then one day you have all the riches for eternity. Be gloriously happy and be with Him. So we need to ask ourselves. Jesus says in Matthew 19:21, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. So those who lay up treasures on earth are actually laying up and storing up treasures, are actually laying up miseries and wrath to come. The Bible says, as much as you did it to me, to them, you did it to me. Jesus said, if you gave a cup of cold water in my name, that you visited those who were weak, who were sick, the widows, the orphans, those in the prisons. He said, as much as you've done unto the least of those, and you did it in the name of Christ, you've done it unto me. So we need to ask ourselves, what are we actually storing treasure up for? Because we're going to either be miserable and in pain and suffering for the rest of eternity if we go out of here not knowing Jesus Christ. Or else we can be in heaven eternally, secure, happy, being with true riches, Jesus Christ.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, and a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free, and these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.